It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Over the holiday season, Apple's App Store pulled in a record $500 million. So it's no surprise that ahead of the company's latest earnings report, expectations are high. Some estimates suggest demand for hardware from the company in China has jumped 12% in the last year. Bailing Yin is at Stanford's Institute for Economic Policy. She says Apple has become an aspirational brand in China. But the competition is growing and Apple sales might soon slow among the rising middle class.
Even the highest income brackets are going to say, hey, why should I buy an iPhone when I can buy a cheaper and potentially better product that's homegrown in China?
Think Xiaomi. That's Stanford's Bailing Yin. While many people in the northeastern United States today are concerned about losing power in their snow-covered homes, a growing number have also bought a kind of insurance plan. As a piece of technology, the emergency home generator is priced competitively. Some cost about as much as your high-end laptop. Others cost twice, four times that. Whatever the cost, demand is going up, as Tim Fitzsimmons reports.
In the wooded hills of New England, power outages are a fact of life. Ask anyone there, and they'll remember what happened back in 2011.
That was, as we coined it, the October storm.
That's Tony Vaccaro, co-owner of OJ Mann Electrical Services in Cheshire, Connecticut. His company installs backup home generators.
And that one truly brought New England down to its knees.
A huge nor'easter swept across the region while the trees still had their leaves. The heavy snow brought down countless limbs right onto the power lines below. Some people didn't have electricity for weeks. Unshowered masses staggered around grocery stores looking for canned food. Not too long after that, Vaccaro's phone started to ring.
Little did we know how emotional the sale of a generator would be. You have people on the phone literally sobbing with desperation because their husband, their wife, is on dialysis.
The Halloween snowstorm was the one where it was a total shocker.
That's Christy Holland. She lives in nearby Bethel, Connecticut, and got her first home generator for that very reason. A family member needed a breathing machine. But now, she wouldn't give it up for anything.
Having a generator is one of the things that will absolutely spoil you, and once you have it, you don't want to not have it.
Generac, the largest U.S. maker of backup home generators, says about 7% of all new homes have one pre-installed. In blustery cold Glen Elg, Maryland, a suburb between Washington and Baltimore, Walt Meyer is installing a backup home generator. Unlike the pull-start gasoline models of the past, these new ones hook right up to your propane or natural gas. Here's what happens when the power goes out.
Within 20 seconds, the generator will notice that there's a power outage. The transfer switch will switch over its generation power.
And then you're set for days. These systems require zoning, take a while to install, and cost at least $5,000 to set up. But for many Americans, living at the mercy of Mother Nature isn't worth it. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
This week, we learned that virtual reality company Oculus is starting a kind of in-house movie studio to create cinematic content for its headsets. They've hired animators from Pixar Studios to help. Part of the challenge is convincing Hollywood to break out of its two-dimensional mold. Before Oculus can go mainstream, though, it also needs to be sure that people can be in its virtual environments for hours at a time without getting motion sickness. Lots of people are sensitive to this, including the company's CEO, Brendan Uribe. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
What would Oculus movies made by former Pixar employees look like?
Well, we have two internal groups. We have one group up in Seattle that's been working on different tech demos for games, and they're a group of former game developers. We have another group working on the cinema side, the real-time VR cinema side, formerly from Pixar and ILM and a number of different traditional kind of cinema experience companies, to be able to go and figure out how to do VR cinema and then provide these samples to directors so that they could go be successful with VR cinema.
Is it harder to make a movie or a game for VR technology than it is to make a Hollywood film?
Well, the challenge, I wouldn't say it's harder or easier. It's so new and so innovative, whereas traditional film is a very mature medium. At the same time, there's a huge amount of opportunity to be one of the first developers to get it right and to start proving out how to do it.
Let's talk a little bit about Facebook as a parent company. How are you going to navigate that as your company progresses, avoiding some of these things that people don't actually like about Facebook?
Well, it's important to understand the kind of partnership that we formed with Facebook. This was fairly unique that we were given the independence and autonomy to continue down the path that we were on exactly the way we were doing it. If anybody would have been, you know, potentially affected, it would have been something that was a lot closer to Facebook, like Instagram or WhatsApp. For Oculus, it's like hands off, help them as they need it, especially getting that consumer product out.
I know, you're killing me. I'm waiting for the consumer version. Can you help me out? When's it going to happen?
I'm waiting for it also. I'm really excited. We're not there yet. There are things that we're still fixing. It's been pretty well known that I'm the most sensitive in the company. I want to be able to use this thing for 30, 60, 90 minutes comfortably. It's going to be soon. We're super excited to get it there.
Brendan Uribe, CEO of Oculus VR. Brendan, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.
You can hear a much longer version of that conversation on our SoundCloud account. We're at soundcloud.com/marketplace-tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.